Hello, welcome to Infield Chatter, episode whatever this is. I'm Charlie Gibo. I'm going to throw it over to Devin Jessup. Say hi, Devin.
Hi, Devin.
And he's in Las Vegas, Nevada right now. And over in Scottsdale, we have Soko, a.k.a. Tim Jeffco, a.k.a. Mysterious Walker, a.k.a. some other rap name. So this past week of Diamondbacks baseball was kind of crappy. And by crappy, I mean crappy. The Diamondbacks went 1-4 over 5 games. A lone win against the Texas Rangers, and then there was a bunch of losses, and that was culminated by a sweep by the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I'll just throw it to both of you guys. Should we start building fallout shelters and preparing for the worst?
I don't know about you guys, but I have started building an ark already. I am planning to take aboard 2 of each position player. Which Kevin Towers has been standing outside and asking me why I only have 2 middle infielders or 2 shortstops and 2 second basemen. I need like 7 of each, according to him. Mm-hmm. Getting swept by the Pirates was kind of disheartening. The Pirates have been better than they were in previous years, of course. I think it was just the complete lack of offense, basically, that really got to me. Yesterday's game in particular. Wait, was it yesterday that we had, like, runners on second and third, nobody out, and couldn't score?
That could be any particular game, honestly.
But specifically, I think it was the 8th inning mm-hmm. yesterday, and we had the heart of the order up. It was either yesterday or Friday's game. Mm-hmm. Good journalism, Devin.
It wasn't Friday's game because I was at that game.
Yeah, it was yesterday's game. We just couldn't get the run in, and so we lost in the 9th inning. And that was just frustrating as all hell. It was kind of a throwback to the Diamondbacks. Of the Diamondbacks of old that I had kind of hoped we might have gotten away a little bit from. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They were second and third, one out, and Trumbo and Aaron Hill couldn't get the run in.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
I know. It's kind of shocking. It was like somebody told the offense, hey, take a weekend off.
Yeah, like Friday was a little, I don't want to say excusable, but understandable because Gerrit Cole is money. But beyond that, especially today, when Francisco Liriano couldn't hit the strike zone with a big fish, I don't know, that's a metaphor that you should imagine right now. But, yeah, where you're just walking everyone but couldn't get anything going because, oh, I'm Jordan Pacheco, so of course I'm going to be laid off second where the catcher can get me out. Of course that's the thing I would do. Why wouldn't I? I have Rocky brain.
It was certainly a rocky inning for him.
So is this week more representative of what you think this year's team is going to be like, or the kind of 500-ish start to the season before this week?
I would say, honestly, at this point of the season, it's way too early to say one way or the other.
We need a hot take. Go.
The Diamondbacks will win the rest of their games for the rest of eternity.
Ooh, too hot.
Hot damn.
That was so hot. I might be somewhere in between, like, below 500, but not, like, as bad as they were in this past series. So I guess maybe more towards the first part of the season. It is hard to say this early on. And, you know, those are our first 2 series against non-NL West teams. And we're not going to have another series against a non-NL West team for a bit, so who knows.
I don't think we're going to be at the getting swept at home stage quite this badly. But, yeah, honestly, I'm still of the opinion that I think, in the end, we're going to end up being about 10 games under 500-ish.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So more of this to come, kids.
At least this year you're kind of expecting it, because Yeah, last year sort of came out of nowhere, like a thing that came out of nowhere. Metaphors.
Like,
oh, similes.
Simile that just caught us off guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like inconsistent is what I'm actually expecting from this team.
Well, just to be fair, it's a fairly young team that, you know, has a lot of just parts that are trying to fit together weirdly, and they might not. Right, this year is like you're trying to find the sort of outer, the border of the puzzle right now, and you're just trying to not to yell at the dumb little kid for not getting how an eight-piece puzzle works.
That didn't quite go where I expected. When it's an eight-piece puzzle, isn't it going to be mostly outer level?
Well, depend.
No, I mean, unless the pieces are different sizes, then you could have like four outer pieces and four inner pieces. But if they're all the same size, it seems like this is going to be like a rectangular 2x4 puzzle.
Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, it's landscape, not portrait.
Well, yeah, no. So I'm so they would all be outside pieces, is what I'm saying here.
Look, maybe 8 wasn't the right number. Maybe I should have said 18. Get off my back, people.
Look, this is infield chatter. I demand accuracy in our puzzle references.
Hot puzzle takes.
Yeah, yeah. You don't find this one on the back of the box. I don't. Never mind. I don't
know what I was going to say. So beyond hot puzzle takes, let's look ahead to next week. Then we'll get into some questions because I think all of us collectively, or maybe just me, got a bunch of them this week. So that's nice.
I got a few, so.
Yeah. So let's look ahead to next week. We start with, at home, 3 games against the Colorado Rockies, all at 6:40 p.m., all at Chase Field, because, you know. And then we get to visit Los Angeles for the first time with a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series against the Dodgers. So any thoughts on those teams?
Well, first off, I'm glad we get to play the Rockies because I don't think we've seen enough of them in about the past 2 months.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What is a Rocky?
It's a mountain? Well, it's a mountain range, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are referred to as the Rockies, so I guess that a singular, I mean, if that's a plural group term, a singular would be a Rocky.
It's still a noun, though. We're not talking, like, the Minnesota Wild here or anything.
No.
Nice segue.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's something we talked about before we started recording, but that is something we talked about before we started recording. The Minnesota Wild are a hockey team, maybe the only adjective team name of the – purely adjective team name, I should say, of any of the big four sports teams.
Without pulling up the standings in every league and then going down it and attempting to figure out if that's an accurate statement, that feels like an accurate statement.
Yeah, because I'm just going – through my, because it's like noun.
Even something like the Thunder, which is not a traditional plural noun, is still a noun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's, yeah. Yeah, that might be the only one. So good job, early 2000s. You had weird naming conventions for one team. Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of, like, the extreme, like, lower level, like, football leagues that have, like, well, I think, isn't there, like, a arena football league team, like, called the Extreme? I want to say that's a thing.
I was just thinking that.
I'm Googling it right now.
But it might be XFL, maybe?
No, okay,
Kentucky Extreme, that's a different indoor league, if I recall. That's the one that one dude, the fat quarterback, played for.
Oh, Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah, I think he played for the Kentucky Extreme at one point.
But the XFL did have the Los Angeles Extreme.
That's who
spelled,
I was
saying. Spelled Xtreme because that's how you knew they were extreme.
That's actually what I was thinking of, yeah. Last year, I read a pretty interesting long form about the brief history of the XFL, which was actually kind of like, it's kind of a fun read because they sort of like their downfall was sort of like WWF at the time, like just going too hard too soon. But, you know, that's for, you know, the long standing XFL podcast. Let's get back to the Diamondbacks real quick. So the Rockies are in town, and guess what the Rockies did? They started off really fast, but you know what? They haven't been so good lately.
Shocking.
So that does present a quandary, because we started out relatively hot compared to what people thought we were going to start, and then faded this last week. So maybe we're just going to have like a bunch of 26 inning games nobody wants to win.
Which
I'm okay with, because I'm not recapping any of those games.
Just have a Tuesday or Wednesday, that's all I ask.
Wait, when does this series start? Is there a game on Thursday?
There is not.
Okay, there's, good. Then that is an accurate statement. I am not recapping anything. So go as long as you want, guys.
I'm just glad it can't happen on my recap day, so fantastic.
Well, I say they have cooled off from a hot start, because they're 4-6 in the last 10 games, but they're still, by virtue of the rest of the division being kind of second place in the NL West as of speaking right now at 10-8. But yeah, it's just they're probably not a contender, because they're the damn Rockies. It's not 2007. That's my analysis.
Yeah.
I think the Rockies, it's the same. It's tale as old as time, but not in a Beauty and the Beast way. It's the Rockies can't make up their mind. Like, they can't get enough pitching, and it's not physically possible for them to get enough offense to make up for their pitching. So basically the only way they're going to be terribly successful is through just streaks of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not sustainable.
And plus side, though, both of these series are great if you're a hater.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Rockies got Tulo and Carlos Gonzalez, and then the Dodgers have, like, everybody.
That is, they're the Dodgers.
They're the Dodgers. And everybody's on them is hateable. And the only guy that really wasn't that hateable, D. Gordon, they traded away.
Yeah.
And he was kind of hateable just because he stole so many bases.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was at least hateable for, like, legitimate baseball-related reasons, mm-hmm. as opposed to just...
I feel like pretty much all of them except Greinke you could still say that about. And even then, Greinke's a good baseball player, so that certainly fuels it to a certain extent. But they're all pretty hateable. But I would take Adrian Gonzalez if we had a DH.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'll think of the Dodgers. They, this past week, were swept by the Giants, who were coming off of a very bad stretch, so what the hell do we know in April? But one of the games, it was the free MLB.TV game of the day on Thursday, and I watched it before I went to work. Don Mattingly made some, I don't know, he was taking whippets again in the dugout, apparently, in the last inning, because he made the interesting decision on a 3-2 count when a Giants runner stole a base. It's like, it's a 3-2 count. We got two strikes on the guy already. Let's just do the intentional walk. Because why not? Even though it's like, hey, just throw a pitch. You might walk him anyway, but you might get a strikeout, because it was Belt, I think. And so, you know, I get that. But, yeah, there was one other thing from that game that happened, and I don't remember, but it was also pretty lulzy.
Was that the game that the Dodgers were complaining about the Giants because they thought that the runner that ended up being the winning run for the Giants was...
No, that was the night before.
Okay, that was the night before, where they complaining about
third base coach
interference.
He basically accidentally ran into the third base coach, as I recall.
And the Dodgers reacted as though the third base coach had helped him up, led him over to the base, and then punched the third baseman in the face.
Yeah. And then the third baseman got suspended 5 games for running into fists. So, yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. Who do you think you're talking about here? A Diamondbacks player?
Speaking of that, also, we won't see good old Puig during this series because he went on the disabled list for the first time in his career because he's apparently had a hamstring injury bothering him.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. That's exciting. Probably not the right word, but that's a thing that happened. So.
I do feel that, I mean, you have to admit, he's... It's one of the most exciting, dynamic hamstring pulls baseball has ever seen.
That hamstring pull does not hit a cutoff man ever. And it's better for it. That's right, Henry.
I think Henry's got a really good point there. We all should really take that into consideration.
He's describing the tortillas to me right now that we bought at the grocery store. You're right. We did put it in a cart. High five.
Crash cart.
Hot take. Yeah. Crash carts, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stop.
It's
a red dog. Mm-hmm. Where did he go?
This is what it's like living with a 3-year-old pretty much all day.
This is what we call a behind the curtain. Anyway, so Rocky Dodgers, again, I personally feel it's too early in the season to really make any general sweeping conclusions about anything.
Yeah.
Except Mark Trumbull's hot garbage, Aaron Hill's over the hill, and dear God, I wish Nick Ahmed could hit a little.
And I kind of personally feel like because they're division rivals, whatever, we play them enough that what more is there to say about them at this point? And it's also early enough in the season that it's hard to really gauge how good or bad either team is. So it's like, oh yeah, we play them again.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the, like, kind of the only thing you can really necessarily take away from the season so far is we're 3 games out, but we just got swept by an out-of-division team. I feel like there's the Dodgers, Colorado, and San Diego are all within a game of first. I mean, the Dodgers are in first, and the Rockies and the Padres are a game back. The main takeaway that I feel like you might be able to infer from this is that there's not a dominant team in the NL West right now. There's not, like, I don't know, who the Dodgers thought they were the year before, last year and the year before that, where they were just going to kind of walk away with the division and then nosedive in October.
Yeah, because I think the Giants are probably better than what they are right now, even if by a little bit. The Diamondbacks, I'd say, are probably right where they are. The Padres are probably right where they should be. The Rockies are probably playing better than, well, we talked about this, they are, because they do this every year. So, yeah, there's no separation yet. And you say, oh, it's April, nobody has separation. It's like, well...
The Mets have the Mets have a 5-game lead, but that's because they have not lost since Nixon was in office, I think. But wait, Houston has a 2.5 game lead on in first place in the NL West, AL West.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
Never
mind. Let's just forget I said anything. You can't take anything away from this season so far.
Yeah. Though it would be pretty funny if it was an Astros Mets World Series to me, just because no one really had any expectations for them.
Yeah. It'd be like kind of like a throwback 1960s thing, I feel like.
They should definitely, if that's the World Series, they should both wear throwback uniforms, especially the Astros. Especially the rainbow, orange, puke, whatever.
Yeah, those are... they're a piece of work.
That's a good way to put it. So let's transition awkwardly into questions. I asked some questions in today's GDT, so I'll get to some of those. But you guys might have some, too, so we'll just take turns, if that's cool.
Sure.
It might not be. Whatever. This is America. So, first one, I'm going to take from James Atwood, Sacred Writer. Who should be starting on the Diamondbacks infield? I assume he means at this moment. And initial thoughts on the Tomas at third base experiment.
The Tomas at third base experiment, I feel like in a way it's kind of just killing time until he's got room in the outfield. We got room in the outfield for him, mm-hmm. personally, which is really frustrating to me because, like I said, I kind of look at this as the point of this season for the Diamondbacks isn't necessarily to win; it's to develop the team for later. And I appreciate that the Diamondbacks were willing to take a loss, cut their losses with Cody Ross. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
But.
Hail Satan.
But I mean, there's a corner of my mind that's like, you know what? Why are we still spending time on Mark Trumbo?
Tomas at third has been kind of what you expect. There was a play on the game on Tuesday against the Rangers where he just sort of, well, Trumbo the ball at third, which was kind of scary. But I mean, it's honestly with Lamb on the DL and this season sort of being what it is. I guess if you're not moving Trumbo anytime soon, which that's another why the hell not, just throw him, I guess, at third to get him at bats because Hill is, like I said, over the hill and he's not really giving you anything because he's a dead pole hitter and you throw him anything outside, he's going to roll over one into a double play. That's a thing that happens a lot. Now, which is sad, but, you know, that's sort of what it is. But, you know, when Lamb comes back, when Lamb comes back, you have Lamb at third. I guess Ahmed's still at shortstop if you're just hoping his bat comes alive. Owings at second, Goldschmidt at first, and then Mark Trumbo's fired into the sun, and then you basically have your outfield group of Tomas, Pollock, and CRT and Peralta, and you just basically give Tomas the at-bats at playing time you gave Trumbo.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not quite as married to that idea as Charlie is, I suspect. I would be okay if we just launch Trumbo into the dark depths of space, too. I mean, into the sun, out of the solar system, into the asteroid belt, if that's necessary. Whatever works, but...
I feel like, at this point, we should instead be allying ourselves with the House of the Cardinals to institute the DH in the NL. Because I think they would go for it right now, and I think it would help us. So
yeah, like I think I said this last week, is that or 2 weeks. I can't keep these. All these episodes are meld together.
Time is an illusion.
Yeah, but the team as constructed right now would actually really benefit from the DH with or without Mark Trumbo. There's just too many things that might or might not need playing time. So he says throwing his hands up, even though other people can't see that.
But it was kind of, we could kind of infer it from your tone.
The Tomas experiment third base is just, ew. I'm, like I said, I'm only okay with it because it's getting him at bats, which, yeah. Any of you guys have a question you want to throw out to the group?
Well, I did have a question from Four Corners fan, a.k.a. my mom. She had asked me, again, very similar to that, was if we thought Tomas should be in the majors, or if he should be getting more time down in the minor leagues for practice, which I mean, I guess that's kind of a spin-off question.
Honestly, I guess if he's up here now and he's getting more at bats now, it's fine. He's in the majors, just wherever you could get, you know, at bats and stuff, because we don't. It's not like you have service time or options or whatever to worry about him, because he's a foreign player and the MLB has weird rules regarding foreign domestic players. So
don't make any sense.
Yes. Okay. What is more frustrating? This is from Pirate Dan 7. The amount of time Hellickson spends on the mound between each pitch, watching Addison Reed think he can close, or a lack of a lack of production with men in scoring position.
I would say a lack of men.
That's kind of worse, actually.
Sorry.
No judgment.
A lack of production with men in scoring position is what bothers me the most because, mm-hmm. I mean, Hellickson, I'm not going to tell somebody how long they should take on the mound. That's I don't care.
That's between them and Jesus.
And the commissioner's office, I believe.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the Diamondbacks. I don't ever expect us to have a decent closer. But...
Wait.
Jack Quall?
No. Have we really ever had, like, a consistently decent closer? Ever?
Yeah, we have. Well, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Consistently.
Well, J.J. Putz for a few years, okay.
J.J. Putz for a while.
For a couple of years. Jose Valverde for a year. Those guys went to the All-Star game.
I withdraw the question. The complaint.
Yeah.
I withdraw it.
But, I mean, personally, my own philosophy of baseball is frequently heavily predicated on the idea that you should never trust your bullpen. But, I mean, I can, like, you know these guys can hit sometimes. It's just really frustrating to be like, why can't, no. I'm not even necessarily asking for a home run. Just get a freaking sacrifice fly or line something in the outfield. Just whatever you're going to do to bring a run in. It's, don't foul out or ground into a double play.
If those arbitrarily are the only three categories that we're given, I'm going to choose Hellickson taking forever to pitch. And my reason for it is you can't really help that Acevedo is not a good closer. He can't even necessarily help that. Not every player is going to be Mariano Rivera. Not every closer is going to be Mariano Rivera. Not every player is going to be the best that they can do. And some are going to be downright terrible.
I think the most impressive.
I think we would know that.
I think the most impressive thing is that Mariano Rivera was consistently Mariano Rivera. That's just as amazing in itself.
That's a weird sort of.
But I would say his consistency is largely what defines him.
Yeah.
The same way not hitting when there are runners in scoring position, to be able to score them. Again, it kind of comes down to maybe our team isn't supremely talented or they're really young and that happens and that's fine. And those things are going to fluctuate over time. But as much as I like baseball, if I have to watch baseball for 4 hours, I'd rather it be because it's an extra inning game as opposed to our starter is molasses slow. Just pitch the damn ball. The same way I really hate it when guys are stepping in and out of the box all the time. Let's just go.
Yeah. Could you imagine if there was ever like an overlap between Jeremy Hellickson's career and Nomar Garcia Parra's career, and they face each other?
Possibly while pitching for the Yankees and Red Sox.
That would be the longest game ever.
Yeah.
The longest 9-inning game ever.
Yeah.
Speaking of I'm sorry. Actually, Charlie, you can give your answer to this, and then I'll conjure up my tangent.
I'd kind of say it's Reed a little, just to have the third different answer, because... Not just to be different, but because it's like, I used this metaphor in an article once. It's like sending someone out to do a job they're just not good at, and yet it keeps happening. So you're just frustrated, not necessarily at him, but just at the world in general that allows this to happen. This sort of unjust cosmos we live in that's just full of entropy and death that allows Addison Reed to still give up goddamn home runs every outing.
Yeah, but as we kind of said not that long ago, with us not really having a whole lot of consistent great closers, we should be used to that by now.
True.
And, I mean, I guess the question is, I mean, if we don't send out Reed, who do we send out?
Jordan Pacheco.
do we see if it's already too late to try to convince Randy Johnson to unretire? Because that may be our best bet, looking at our roster.
Will his Hall of Fame... induction be revoked if he comes back to play?
Would he have to be voted in again?
Yeah. The longest game, just for the record, for a 9-inning game was in 2006. Of course, Yankees versus Red Sox. It lasted for 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't think Jesus had anything to do with that. Hey, Satan!
I don't think Cody Ross was in that game, because 2006 he wouldn't have been with them yet. He was with them in 2012.
Yeah, but still.
And, oh, wow, 14 to 11 was the final score
yeah.
there.
Yeah. 14 to 11.
Yeah. The question that came to mind for me, what I was going to bring up earlier, was since Tim had mentioned something, and I know I've got the right one here, I'm not attributing it to the wrong person. Tim had mentioned he gets tired of, like, batters stepping in and out of the box, things like that. Did you guys see about the Royals? Wait, who was it?
Royals White Sox.
Royals White Sox brawl.
Oh yeah.
Which part of it started out as the Royals decided they're going to quick pitch
Adam
Eaton.
Yeah, right.
And then Eaton started jawing at the pitcher.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I don't entirely understand that response. Like, I'm sure that there must have been more to him being upset than just that pitch, but because it did kind of seem out of the ordinary, and it also kind of raises the question: why are the Royals getting in so many brawls this year?
I'm just glad that another team has taken the dirtbag baseball team mantle away from the Diamondbacks. It is like,
yeah.
It is way better to be on the other side of that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're fading from contention for that. Especially when you consider the Royals can justify to themselves any of this because they're good, so people are just hating. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like last year, the Diamondbacks were terrible and they still had that reputation as being a bunch of dirtbags.
Yeah.
So it's nice to not have that attention.
Yeah. Apparently, in that fight, Chris Sale went to the locker room to try to fight someone on the Royals. So it's like, I'm sure this was unreported, but I'm sure Hawk Harrelson tried to get into a fight with one of the Royals broadcasters. You know, it's probably ugly.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, my understanding was Hawk Harrelson actually found one of the Royals broadcasters in the parking lot after the game. Get, like, knocked him out with one solid punch and is all, he gone!
It seems likely, yeah.
That feels like if he was, like, a fighter or, like, a professional wrestler, that would be his finishing move, the he gone.
Yeah.
Unless he hits someone with a 2x4 and then it's, you put it on the board! Yes!
There's your mental image of the day, Hawk Harrelson hitting someone with a 2x4. I now want to make this happen. I don't know how.
Let's start a change.org petition.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, President Obama is a White Sox fan. Can we get the White House petition going? And he's probably got the influence and connections to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Sorry, that's still funny to me. So some more questions we'll get into, then, I don't know.
I was asked on Twitter, also by Devin's mom. She wanted to know whether this series would make us hate the Pirates more. And I'm not sure if it's because they swept us or if something else happened that I'm already forgotten about, but... I don't feel like I hate the Pirates any more or less.
Well, I mean, I think I wonder if the reference is to last year's incidents with the Pirates.
Yeah, no, I assume that's the baseline, but I don't remember anything else happening this series that would make me say, oh, it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's just like, they're a pretty good team. The Diamondbacks weren't that time. That happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of the takeaway. It's I mean, you score tons in 27 innings. I don't think you can take away any sort of indignation. You basically just have to kind of shrug and walk away embarrassedly, hands shoved in your pockets, staring at the ground in front of you.
Yeah, this series wasn't like a bad fraternity initiation hazing. It was more just like a very awkward high school dance. So, you know, just take it, become better for it, then...
Have flashbacks every time you hear Boys to Men.
High school prom?
Well, Devin's an old, so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
A reference for us would be like...
Usher's Yeah.
Yeah, Usher's Yeah, definitely.
Kids today and their pop music and their... I don't even know. Never mind. Go on.
Yeah, pop music, yeah. This is a sidebar, which I'll keep it because we needed a pat for time. But I once, at a rock festival, like, 2006 or so, there was this really shitty band with, like, a screaming drummer as their lead singer who went off on, like, a seriously five-minute rant about how pop music was dumb and, like, they were angry because Fall Out Boy was popular. It was great. But not for the reasons the guy thought it would be.
Look, if you're a band and your drummer is lead singer, I don't think you can blame other bands for their success and not yours.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, with the exception of the occasional, oh, we're a band and we're going to throw a song to our drummer because we feel bad for him. The Beatles.
Ringo.
You let Ringo sing every once in a while.
Yeah, you let Ringo sing. You let Keith Moon jump in every once in a while. it happens. We all try and forget about it because they almost universally are the worst songs. But
so, where does
the only other song, the only other band I can think of that the lead singer was the drummer was Genesis, and that was only after Peter Gabriel left.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, I was going to say, where do we stand on Phil Collins on all that?
Yeah, I mean, it worked for them because Genesis was a bunch of great musicians and yada, 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 but it's definitely something that it's going to be difficult to pull off.
Genesis may be one of those things that it's the exception that proves the rule. I mean, you need that quality of... Why am I talking about Genesis on the internet?
It seems like you're in a land of confusion right now, Devin.
I can't actually think of any Genesis songs to make a response to that.
Yeah.
Let's Invisible Touch our way out of this topic, and let's go to another question. This is from Sacred Member Songbird. Why have the baseball gods taken Jake Lamb away from us? I don't think it's the baseball gods, per se. Hail Satan!
Because baseball is a game of suffering for all of us, and somehow the Diamondbacks decided that, or the gods decided that Diamondbacks fans needed a double dose of it.
2001 was like the high points of all high points. It's just been a sort of like, it's just been like a car in neutral on a gentle slope since then.
Pretty much, yeah.
I have more questions, but did you guys get any more you want to throw out there?
The only other question I had received from anybody was from my friend Simone, and her question, and I don't know if anyone actually has a take on this, was who has the best butt in baseball?
The fight in baseball.
I'm going to say active players in Major League Baseball right now.
Oh, I was going to say me. That's a very, 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 very minor member of the baseball media.
James Loney.
James Loney?
Or yes. What's the question?
The question was, who has the best butt in baseball?
Actually, I'm just gonna.
I was gonna play Homer, and I was gonna go with Paul Goldschmidt because.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna type this question into Google.
I did Google it, and I found at least two Tumblrs dedicated to it.
Here's a Mets catcher Anthony Recker's butt has its own Facebook page. Oh, here's from the Phoenix New Times: the best butts in Major League Baseball. It's local. Joe Mauer, Paul Konerko, this is an old article, Chase Utley, Placido Polanco, Derek Jeter, Jose Bautista, Ryan Braun, Daniel Murphy, and Adam Lind. I'll put a link to that. It's from 2011, so yeah, it's old, but There's so a list from
Goldschmidt, probably.
Yeah, yeah. The PG times, yes. I'll throw out a few more. I have a few more questions from Stephen Burt on the Twitters. What zany new food item will we see next? I'm going to go with a deep fried chorizo dipped in some frozen yogurt with some Arby's horseradish sauce on it.
I am going to go with... all right, as a base, you've got the waffle from Lolo's. Then you've got tortilla chips topped with macaroni and cheese and shredded brisket with barbecue sauce drizzled on top.
The word, yeah, you had me until you said the word drizzle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Smothered in barbecue sauce.
Okay, I'm there.
Yeah.
I don't know precisely what the ingredients will be, and I'm not going to make anything up because I don't have that big of an imagination. But given that there seems to be a trend in restaurants for ghost peppers, my guess will be it'd be something with ghost peppers.
I guess that, yeah.
Are ghost peppers the new chipotle?
Kind of, I guess. I mean, they're supposed to be super, super hot. So I've noticed a lot of restaurants recently. Yeah, it's a baseball coin.
I'm done.
You're done?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The baseball's done.
I'll hold on to it. But I noticed a lot of restaurants, and even like Jack in the Box and Wendy's and Red Robins.
Yeah, I mean, like there was a period, a couple of. I don't know, a while ago, and, like, everything had Chipotle on it, and I'm trying to remember, there's the big ingredient, like, 2 years before that, and I can't recall, so.
No, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, sriracha's been pretty hot for a while, you know, people putting sriracha in everything, or having their own version of sriracha, but ghost pepper, the difference between a lot of those ones is that, you know, that may have a particular flavor profile for each of those, but they're not particularly... or extremely hot. The big selling point for ghost peppers has nothing to do with flavor. It's just simply, we made something that's super spicy, come eat it.
Yeah.
And I could see a baseball team, maybe not necessarily Diamondbacks, but I could see a baseball team making some sort of novelty item that's super spicy. Mm-hmm. And it would make sense here, given our location, and yeah.
Yeah, I'd almost expect to see it from the Rangers because they do things like that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the Astros.
Or the Astros.
Or Inter team here, because I think almost every, not every team, but a lot of teams have their weird novelty big ass. We talked about this like a month ago. Yeah.
I mean, every team has weird novelty stuff just about, but... why it would make more sense for Southwest teams is that we already have a certain amount of tradition in spicy food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I couldn't really expect that from, say, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. Ghost pepper clam chowder.
Oh, vomit everywhere.
So what's with this ghost pepper, huh?
What's a ghost pepper? Oh, my God!
Oh, God, that burns. It's wicked hot, yo.
Here is the outro for the Infield Chatter podcast. Thank you for listening. And I swear, we're going to be on iTunes soon. Devin submitted the RSS feed. So, next week, hopefully? Question mark? Well, see ya.
Maybe I should talk about who the worst Avenger is, because it's Hawkeye.
Well, yeah.
He's useless.
I mean, is there another answer?
No. I mean, it's a pretty wide gap between him and the next useless Avenger.
Uh-oh, it's the man.
Uh-oh. Whoop, whoop.
At the sound of the police.